The bottom of Nun Aleph on the base, 9 lines up from the bottom. And the Gemara is now analyzing a Machlokas Tanoim, which is also a Machlokas Amoraim. And the Brisa records a Machlokas Tanoim. And the issue is, there are two people who are partners in a bar. The first one uses the bar, finishes, and then the second one uses the bar. What does the first one have to do in order to complete his liability on the bar, his responsibility? And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he has to just pass on the dli, which is the kisui of the bar. Now, he has to say to, let's say Reuven says to Shimon here, you cover the bar. I am now transmitting the responsibility over Shmiras HaBar to you. Whereas according to the Tanakhama, Kevon Sheinicho Milishtamish, as soon as Reuven finishes his allotted time, he used the bar, now it's Shimon's responsibility. He's using the bar. He's responsible for Shmiras HaBar, and Reuven is out of the picture. And this, in fact, is a machlokes between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Both Rab and Rav Yosef agree. Rabba Bar Bar Chana addressed this question, but the machlokas is what is the tradition, the correct transmission of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. According to one opinion, Rabba Bar Bar Chana was of the opinion that it's enough that the first mishtamesh, the first partner, Reuven, completes his use of the bar, and the second one, Shimon, once he is mamshich, now he takes over, he becomes responsible for the bar. And the other opinion is, no, we need that the Rishon, that's Reuven, actually, actually be moser. You need a mesira. There's got to be a formal mesira of the michse, of the cover of the bar. Then and only then is Reuven potter. And that was the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. But my Mifliki. Now the Gemara wants to analyze this machlokes. What is each one arguing? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov sava yesh brera. In other words, we can already rely now on the fact that something later will be clarified. And whatever will be clarified in the future is already valid now. If you apply this abstract principle to our situation of Shmiras HaBar, since we will know clearly in the future, after a certain amount of time, that each one is using the bar, already from now, we can already establish the nature of this shutfus, of this partnership in the bar. Now, if you take a look carefully at Rashi, Dibra Masel V'Haimi Didei Kamemale, the impression you get is that what Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is trying to accomplish through the din of Breira, the principle of Breira, is to basically break up the shutfus. Shutfus means it belongs to both of them simultaneously. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is saying, no, it belongs to Reuven at one particular period of time. It belongs to Shimon exclusively at another period of time. What determines the chalukas hashutvim, so to speak, is who has rights to use the bar. The use of the bar determines the ownership of the bar in an exclusive way. So when Reuven uses the bar, he's using his bar. When Shimon uses the bar, Shimon's using his bar. There's no overlap here. The basic concept, fundamentally, of shutfus is overlap, that no matter at what period of time, at what point in time, no matter who's using it, it belongs to both of them. And the nafka mina is going to be the following. According to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, based on the principle of Breira, which means that we're going to divide up the shutfus, how does the Rishon remove himself from the shutfus? And if he cannot remove himself from the shutfus, he remains chayev in the bar, b'toras balabar yishalim. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov needs a formal act of mesira, which is mafkia the chiv shmir of the rishon. In other words, as long as the rishon is using the bar, he's exclusively the owner of the bar. He's responsible for the bar, b'tor is bala bar. What we need in Breira is to set up a possibility that he can pass on the ownership of the bar. And how does he do that? Through Mesira. And that's where the Gemara says, Hai mi di day kom emale, v'hai mi di day kom emale. The emphasis here is that Reuven is using the bar b'tor is shalo, b'tor is pilus. And the same is true with regard to Shimon. And therefore, each Chiv Shmira is a separate independent entity which reflects the exclusive bailus, in this case of both Reuven, the Rishon, and Shimon, the Sheni. Since Reuven, at this point in time, has exclusive bailus, he hasn't removed his bailus, and therefore that generates a responsibility over the bar. He can only remove his bailus through an act of kinyan, to be mafkia his bailus over the bar. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov requires mesira. Then we have the Rabbanan. For Rabbanan Savri ein breira. In other words, according to the Rabbanan, we're not going to be mafkia bailus here. We're going to insist on the chalos shutfis. And if we do so, then we have a halacha of shoel and mashil. Meaning, even if one person owns a mazik, let's take the case of Shar, for example. If he lends it to someone else, and that second person is a shoel, the shoel, if you remember, we discussed at great length, is nichnas tachas habaylof. That's the halacha of shomrim. And paradoxically, because both Reuven and Shimon, in our case, own the bar simultaneously, the use of the bar itself could engender a chiyuv, an exclusive chiyuv nizokin, under the halach of Shomer. So that although both Reuven and Shimon own the bar simultaneously, and therefore Ein Breira kicks in, nevertheless, each tashmish in generates a halach of shoel. So when Reuven is using the bar, although the bar is owned b'shutfis by Shimon, Shimon is now the mashiel, and Reuven is the shoel, and vice versa. So therefore, no one has an exclusive ownership over the bar, and the achrayus, and the liability to pay damages, now will depend upon who the shoel is. When Reuven uses the bar, he fills up his bucket with water from the bar, then he's doing so not only from his partnership, his ownership in the bar, but also from Shimon's ownership of the bar. But nevertheless, since he's using the bar of Shimon, he, Reuven, becomes the shoel. As soon as Shimon steps up to the plate, and now it's his turn to use the bar, he becomes the shoel. And the halach of shoel is that shoel is chayev in liability to the exclusion of the mashil. The mashil is totally out of the picture. Omer avino v'azdu litamayhu. And in fact, this machlokus, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Chachamim, with regard to Breira, is an old machlokus. This nan, we have a mishnah in the Nedarim. Hashutvim. First, we have the opinion of the Tanakama. Hashutvim shenodru hano zemize asurim likanes lechotzer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, ze nichnas l'tok shalo, v'ze nichnas l'tok shalo. According to the Tanakama in Breira, and therefore they both are shutvim. If they're both shutvim, at no point in time can anyone benefit from the other shutav because of this neder, which each one took upon himself not to be nene, not to benefit from the object, the possession of the other one. But Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds that there is a halacha of Breira which allows us to separate the shutfis, and at one point the object, whatever it be, belongs to Reuven. Let's say it's a chatzer, the use of the chatzer of a courtyard, and at another point in time belongs exclusively to Shimon. So since we could separate the shutfis, therefore, zenech nas l'tok shelo, zenech nas l'tok shelo, neither one of being nene from the chatzer of the other one. B'maiko miflugi, Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov sover yesh breira, and therefore you can separate the bailus over this chatzer. Each one could say that he's using what he owns in the chatzer. Hai lidinafshe ayil v'hai lidinafshe ayil, each shutuf, when he goes into the chatzer to use it, is going into his own chatzer. V'rabbanan savri ein breira, the chatzer always belongs to both of them, and each one who goes in is being nene from the other one and violating his chiyuv neder. So it's interesting, it comes out that the Rabbanon, because of Ein Breira, are machmir in the case of neder, yet as far as our consideration to shift the responsibility over the bar, in a certain sense they're being mekil. Meaning, let's take Reuven's perspective. In the Darim, the Rabbanon are going to say that Reuven is enjoined from using this chatzer, because he has a joint ownership with Shimon, who's the from whom he was Mudra Noah, and he could never separate that ownership, that partnership. However, with regard to Bar, Reuven is in great shape, because since he owns the Bar, he's mashil the Bar to Shimon during that period of time that Shimon uses the Bar, and therefore Reuven is completely exonerated from his Chiyuv Shmira and his liability on the Bar. We have a concept of Mesiras Kisya Bar, Betoras Haknoas, at least a bailus over the bar b'toras nezikin, and that's the yisod here of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now the Gemara moves on to discuss this halacha of mesira from another perspective. Amar Rabbi Lazar, hamocher bar lechavero kevin shemasalo dolyo kana. And what this seems to imply is that Rabbi Eliezer is building, Rabbi Lazar is building on this concept of hafkas bailus, or shall we say the transfer of bailus from Reuven to Shimon through over a bar through mesira, and the mesira itself is the dolyo, is the michsa bar. The Gemara asks the following question: Hechi domi ibechaspa likne b'chaspa, ibechazaka, likne b'chazaka. How do we understand this kinyan on the bar? From the perspective of universal kinyanim, we could be makne, or either with kesef, again, karka niknes b'kesef, or with chazaka. And chazaka would mean ishtamshus b'bar. But here, we're using mesiras michsa habar as a substitute replacement for the classical kinyanim, the darkia kinyanim. Either kesef should be enough if he pays him for the bar, and then you don't need mesira. And the same is true with regard to ishtamshus b'toras chazaka. You don't need mesira. The olam says the gemara bechazaka. The Gemara establishes here that with regard to kinyani karka, a maisa chazaka is not enough. And in addition to the maisa chazaka, the mocher has to say to lokeach, lechazek ukni. Now, it's possible that the requirement of Lech Hazek Ukni is only applicable if the Mocher is not here. In the presence of the Mocher, it could be that the Lokeach does the Maisa Chazaka and Fartik, that's enough. And this is a discussion in a Sugim Bava Basra Nun Beis. But in any event, if the mocher is not present at the time of the Maisa Chazak Lokeach, then we require that the mocher has to authorize the Lokeach Lechazeku Kni. Go use the karka, and then it's yours. And then the Lokeach could be Yorid L'toch Karka, he can make a kinyan, whether it's a goder, noral, poratz, he sets up a fence around the, whatever it might be, opens the fence. And that operates even shalo bifnei, even without the presence of the mocher. Now here too, in the case of bar, even if the first shutef, we'll call him Ruvain, is not around, or let's call him the mocher in this case, nevertheless Shimon, by using the bar, can become the Baal HaBar. How so? Because the Mesira of the Dolio is a replacement for Lechazeku Kni. And even though the Mocher did not say explicitly to the Lokech those magic words, Lechazeku Kni, nevertheless, the Mesiras HaDolio, Dolio Shel Bar, that itself is a substitute for Lech Chazek Ukni. Interesting thing is that in the language of Rabbi Elazar, there's no mention of Kesef or Chazaka here. The language of Rabbi Elazar is a little bit misleading. He says, Kevin Shemosel Odolio Kana. That's not really true. The Kinyan on the bar, on the part of Lokech, would have to be effectuated by either Kesef or by Chazaka. What he means is that once that Maisa Kinyan was effectuated, was implemented, the Lokeach now, through his Chazak on the bar, owns the bar, even without the Lech Chazeku Kni, because Kevin Shemosel Odolio Kana. Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amocher Bayis Lechavero, and here we turn to Daf Nun Beis Amid Aleph, Kevin Shemosel Mafeach Kana. And once again, we're going to have a substitute for Lechazeku Kni. And this is Mesiras Maftechos, a very famous sugi at the beginning of Psachim. Hechi Domi. The Gemara wants to know what exactly went on over here. Ibe Kaspa, Likni Bekaspa. Ibe Chazaka, Likni Bechazaka. What do we need Mesiras Maftechos for? We know that in Karka, and Abayis, of course, has the status of Karka, Mechubil Karka Ki Karka, requires either Kesef or Chazaka, Liolam Bechazaku, by Lemeimar Lechazeku Kni. The Chazaka that the Lokeach implements on the Abayis is not sufficient if it's Shalo Bifnei Ha-Mocher, unless the mocher authorized Lokeach to go ahead and make this kinyan, and kevin shem mosa lo mafteach keman diomer lech chazek ukni. In other words, a kinyan chazaka in the bias means to use the bias, to benefit from the bias. And since the Lokeach could only have access to the bias through the mesiras habayis, what the mocher is basically conveying to the Lokeach is that by receiving the mafteach, he, the Lokeach, is authorized to enjoy the benefits of the bias. He has access to the bias, and that's called a kinyan chazaka. If we had more time to go into in-depth study here, we'd have to analyze this concept of Mesiras Dolio. We've been learning the sugya according to Rashi, that Dolio means the kisui habar, and l'chora, that might be a unique kinyan in Hilchus Nezikin. But the Rashba and other Rishonim seem to understand that we're talking about not Mesiras HaMichseh, not the Kisui HaBor, but rather the covering of the Natla. The Natla means that, excuse me, not the covering, but rather Natla, which means the Dali in the literal sense, the utensil that you use to draw water with, that bucket. And that would seem to be more of a classical kind of lechazeku kni and hilchas kinyonim. That would require a lot of study unto itself, that machlokas. And it really dates back to Rabbeinu Chananel. He doesn't learn like Rashi that we're talking about the kisui habar. Now we begin the Mishnah on Daf Nun Beis. This Mishnah is a continuation of the concept of Bar Shel Shutfim. Kiso HaRishon Uba Ashenu Mitzo Megula Velo Kiso Asheni Chayav. If the first Shutuf, that's Reuven, fulfilled his obligation vis-a-vis this bar, he did the Shmir of the bar, and afterwards something happened and that Shmir was gone, comes along Shimon and he finds the bar Megula meaning without any covering. Shimon now becomes responsible for the Shmir Sabar. Again, up to what point? You know, at some point or other we should ask the question, well, the Rishon realizes that, hey, the bar is not covered. Okay, he did a Maisa Kisui, but we need that the continuous Shmira is meaningful. But in any event, at some point or other, Reuven is out of the picture, even though now it's Megula, and the Sheni Shimon, steps into his shoes, and he becomes Chayav. The Gemara itself is going to address the question, at what point is a Chiyuv of Shmira transferred exclusively to Shimon? The Mishnah continues, Kiso Karoi, V'nafal etocho shor ochamor. Now what happened was that initially when the Bala bar covered the bar, he took into consideration the possibility of various animals, heavy animals, coming over the covering of the bar, walking over the bar, and one could anticipate that these animals would not fall into the bar. However, something happened and the kisui habar became weak, and as a result of the weakness of the kisui, Rashi speaks about hislia, there was some sort of attack of termites on this wooden kisui. Now the shor or the chamor falls in, umeis, and dies. Potter. Why? Because at this point we alleviate any responsibility on the part of the Bala Bar because he did what he had to do. Anything that happens beyond his responsibility of Shmir is called onus. But then the Mishnah says, Lo kiso karoi, and this is just in a sense, a reflected image of what we had before. There's no chiddush here, but v'nafal shom shor chamor v'mes chayev. If there was no proper shmira on the bar, then the Torah says yechayev for shor chamor. Now we have a case where a person digs the bar, and somehow the digging of the bar itself contributes to the nezek of the shor. Nafal lefanav mikol hakriya. Kol HaKriya means that as he's digging, you know, he's got this hammer and he's banging away and chipping away at the bar in order to deepen the bar. Perhaps Rashi says he's an employee, he's a wage earner, a laborer on the part of the Baal HaBar. And now the loud noise of the Kriyas HaBar, the digging of the bar. And who knows better than contemporary life here in an urban setting that there's, you know, noise of construction going on all the time. And as a result, the shor or the chamor became very startled and they fell into the bar. Is chayef. Now, the question is, who's chayef here? You know, logically, one could have argued that maybe the laborer should be chayef. But on the other hand, he's only working on behalf of the owner of the bar. So Rashi says that it is the owner of the bar who's chayev, who authorized the poel, the sachir, to dig this bar. And the question is, why is the person who digs the bar, the actual wage earner, why is he potter? And Rashi introduces what we've said many times is the most fundamental principle in all of Nezikin, that Grumman v'Nezikin Potter. which means that the loud noise that startled the animal, that's an indirect hezek. That's called grumma. So we cannot attribute any chiyuv to the sachir who's actually digging the bar, but on the other hand, the bala bar is responsible. He did not provide shmirah. And it's irrelevant what actually brought the shar to fall into the bar, if he was startled by the noise. But that's all attributable to the bala bar and his pshia. However, the Mishnah continues by adding a stipulation. And that is li'acharav, which means if the shar falls li'acharav mikol akriya potur. Now, why is li'acharav potur? For that, we're going to have to see the sugi at the end of Nun Bezim and Bezim Achloks between Rav and Shmuel going on to Nun Gimel and Aleph to understand the difference between lefanov and li'acharav. But just to give you a preview of coming attractions in a very capsulized way, according to Rav, only if the animal falls lefanov do we say it was killed by the hevel, but not if it falls li'acharav. Whereas according to Shmuel, forget about hevel. Shmuel says it's a different, independent mechayev of bar, and that is chavota. So that Shmuel's going to have to come up with a new explanation as to why in the Sefer here, li'acharav, he's potur, despite the fact that what killed him was the chavota. And that's again going to introduce the concept of grumma, and Bali Netta will see this later on. The Mishnah continues, nafal l'socho shar v'kelov. We know that the Torah says Yechayev for bar only with regard to an animal that is injured or dies in the bar, but not Kalev. And now the shar has Kalem on it. For example, let's say if you have an ox that's used to plow, the plow itself is connected through the yoke on the shar to the body of the shar. V'nishtabru chamar v'kelov. So both the ox as well as the utensils, in this case the machresha that's on its shoulders, or for example in the case of chamar v'kelov, the chamar has a saddle and the saddle was niskaru, was ripped. So in all these cases the Mishnah says chayav al behemu potur ala kelim, and that's based on the pasuk v'nafal shom ashar chamar. And shor is lafuke adam, and chamor is lafuke kelim. That you're not chayev for the damage incurred to kelim. Nafal lesocho shor chere shote v'katan. There are situations, just like we have in human beings, that they're not responsible for their actions. They don't have das. So too, with regard to a shor, you could say that the shor is not yet up to the maturity level. The Shidduch Gubet says he's not yet capable of being choresh, and therefore he doesn't know how to protect himself from boros. In such a case, chayav. Because the bala bar, no doubt, caused the damage or the death of the shor. This is a choresh shor, a young shor. It's not yet experienced enough to expect that it protects itself. It's careful about not falling into a bar. Ein bo das is the bala bar is chayav because he created this takola as a result of digging the bar. Now, supposing as a result of the bar he digs, he causes the death of bein o bas, eved o ama, patur. With regard to a human being who died in this bar, the bala bar is patur. And you might think that maybe the Torah only assumed so because a mature person is expected to watch himself, and if we shift the responsibility onto the shoulders of the Adam. But in the case of a katan, we might assume, again, it's difficult to understand why the Mishnah had to add Eved Vioma, but at least in the case of a katan, or a ketana, we might assume that the Torah, there's no possibility within the framework of liability to transfer the liability onto the shoulders of a katan, who's a labar das, and therefore the palapor remains chayov, but nevertheless you're patur, and this becomes exeris hakosuf shor v'lo adam, excluding the death of a person, whether it be a gadol who's a bar das and a pikeach, or a katan who's a lav bar das. The Rishonim and the Achronim point out that there are chumras that we find with regard to Eved V'yama if they were damaged. For example, we have a knas called Shloshim Shel Eved. That means if the owner of the ox was negligent and the ox killed an Eved or an Amma, he pays Shloshim Shel Eved. And that knas means that even if that sum of shloshim exceeds beyond the market value of the eved v'yoma, nevertheless, yochayev. We find another chumra, which we discussed earlier, regarding eved v'yoma. If you have a shor that was nogeach, a pregnant woman, so the normal parsha and chiyuv of dmei vladis doesn't apply to a shor, but if the shor was nogeach, a shivcha, me'uberes, then the owner of the shor pays the mevlados. So in the light of all these chumras, we had a havamina that perhaps with regard to bar, the Torah would be machmir if an eved or an ovah fell into the bar to be machayev the bala bar. Kamash balan, shor v'lo adam is exeris hakosuv, and it's all-inclusive. The Gemara says the following. We learned in the Mishnah that once the first partner covered, he fulfilled his obligation, covered the bar. The second one, even though he finds it now exposed, apparently the covering of the first one didn't last that long. The sheni becomes responsible once he finds the bar megula. For rishon at emas miftar, but we have to ask the question, at what point does the responsibility shift over to the sheni? After all, the rishon, although he put down a kisui abor, but that kisui abor is history. It's gone. Omar Rav, b'chdei sheyeda. What does that mean, b'chdei sheyeda? Because Shmuel, Omar, b'chdei sheyodi'uhu. Both Rav and Shmuel seem to be saying something very, very similar. And we have to find the subtle difference between the two. There's b'chdei sheyeda, and there's Bichdei Shiyotiuhu. And we're going to look at Rashi, and we're going to get the impression that at some point Reuven will pick up the responsibility together with Shimon for covering this bar, because Reuven is aware of the fact that his kisui is gone. It's history. And Rav says Bichdei Sheyeda, which means, as she says, he came back to his bar and he realized that there's no kisi on the bar. However, you take a look at Tosas. Tosas says, "B'chdei sheyeda shakol yotza shabar magula demistama shama." Now, it's the kol is some sort of a rumor. There's no authoritative official notification that was sent to the rishon that his shmira sabar, his kisi abar, is gone, but the rumors are out there. And Tosas points out that within the framework of Rav, the premise that we operate with is that no doubt Reuven heard about this rumor. A kol has that power in halacha that everyone heard it, we assume. And Shmuel Omar, Shmuel says, "Bishmiya bi'alma lo mechayev." He, the Baal HaBar, doesn't have to rely on the kol. He doesn't have to, well, you know, the word is out there, there's rumors. Who believes rumors? He doesn't have to take it seriously in halacha. There's got to be some sort of an official notification. Somebody who actually saw that the bar was Megul has to come back and report it to him. Now we have a third shita. Rav Yochanan Omar, Bichdei sheyodi'uhu. Shmuel is right that he has to get some sort of a notification, and that's absolutely reliable. It's no longer hearsay. But that's not enough. He's still not chayev. Okay, you know, he got the phone call. You know, Ploni Almoni from the city municipality, you know, in the office there, he notified him by phone. But nevertheless, he's got to have time to replace his kisui before he becomes responsible. Says Rabbi Yochanan, v'yiskar polim, yichros harazim, v'yichasenu. He has the time period in which he could hire polim to cut down wood. And at that point, in other words, he's got to move like the speed of light. He can't delay this and postpone it dilly-dally. But we give him that extra slack, that extra time period, says Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Tosus points out, v'hu adin ha-sheni shenoslim shir zeh. In terms of the sheni, you also have to give him a little bit of time, A, once he finds out about the bar is exposed, and he's got to get time to hire polim to replace the kisui. Ela delo b'inin shiyodi'u shekvar yoda. That condition that we mentioned before, that there has to be notification, that's irrelevant because the sheni saw the bar itself. Shmuel sovah d'miyad, yesh lo lehoshiv sham shomrim shlo yipol shum davar v'bar. Tosus asks the question, well, okay, according to Shmuel, we notified him, and immediately he's responsible, but isn't Rabbi Yochanan right? Give him at least that extra period of time to replace the bar, replace the kisui. And for Tosus says, Shmuel holds that in this case, he's got to appoint Shomrim. He can't just wait, you know, it's going to take him a day or two to high pole him and replace the kisui. The Gemara now continues to explain the Mishnah. Kiso karoy v'nofal esocho sharuch hamor v'mes umes potur. The Gemara doesn't understand. Kevon de kiso karoy, if he actually covered the key, you know, the bar with a kisei, how is it possible that the Sharuch Hamor died in the bar? I mean, it's a contradiction in terms. I mean, by definition, kiso karoy means that the shor would not fall into the bar. Kevon de kiso karoy hechi nofal. There's something fishy over here in this mission. There must be another variable or another factor that could kick in here. Amar Rav Yitzchak Barbchana Shesliya Mitocho, that the termites attacked the Kisia bar, and as a result, the covering over the bar became very weak. This is similar to the Gemara Makis that you talk about, a person who goes up a ladder and he falls from the ladder because the ladder was a wooden ladder, was attacked by these flying creatures. Now, since the Kisia bar, once attacked by the Toloim, becomes very weak, it makes sense now, what the Mishnah is saying, that the animal was able to fall in the bar. It's a weak Kisui. But the Baal HaBar himself is Potter. He's considered Anus. In other words, we don't require the Baal HaBar to create such a bar that would be invincible for Toloim, you know, to cover the Kisei HaBar with steel and metal. That's not within the purview of his requirement. So the Mishnah is teaching us that Baal HaBar doesn't have to be like the mother hen that sits over and supervises her young. He doesn't have to sit over the bar, the Kisei HaBar, supervising on a regular basis to see, wait, is it still strong, is it still powerful? He has every right to assume that he put down this kisui. The kisui is fine, and a sharuch hamor cannot fall in. Iboiluhu kiso kisui sheyochol lamod lifnei shvarim v'ein yochol lamod lifnei gmal. And now we get into the nitty gritty details about how powerful and how strong this kisui is. And in this particular case, he set up a kisui which is powerful enough to protect against shvarim and is not powerful enough to protect against gmalim. And asu gmalim vi aruha vi asu shvarim v'nafli be. My. So if the gmalim fell in, that's for sure that he's a poshea. I mean, after all, he did not protect against gemalim. Right, a gomel is a massive animal that weighs a ton. So obviously we're talking about a question. The question itself focuses on the case where the shar fell into the bar, and he indeed put a kisei, a bar that would withstand the weight of the shvarim. But the problem is that the gemalim walked over the kisei bar, and they weakened the kisei bar. Shall we say now that the Baal HaBor is Chayev? Amri, the Gemara says, Echidomi, what's the exact case? If we have every reason to assume and anticipate that Gemal will come by Posheahu, because he should have entertained the probability, whatever that probability is, that Gemalim will walk over his Kisui. That's not a strong Kisui if the Gemalim are going to weaken the Kisui. And that's called Pshia. He never supplied Pshia for this Shmira for this bar. But V'idolo Shchichi Gmalim is Onasu. If he had no reason to anticipate that these camels going by, you know, camels are out there in the Midbar, not here in the urban center, and no, we didn't hear anything about a gamel that got loose from the zoo. Then he provided his shmir, he did his due diligence. He didn't have to entertain the possibility that Gemalim would come and weaken his kisei bar, and then for sure he should be potter. So mimanafshach, either he's chayav through pshia, because he should anticipate Gemalim weakening the kisei, or he's potter. Lo tzricha. And this is going to be that twilight zone, that ambiguous case in the middle that falls between the cracks. The asu leprakim, that from time to time, gemalim come by. Mi amrinon kevan di asyon leprakim posheahi. Who, since from time to time, the gemalim come by, he should be anticipating the gemalim. Di boile lasukia daite. It's common that gemalim come by. Odilma came to hashta mias leka. Now there are no gemalim around. He looks around, and there's no report of any gemalim here. Is therefore, he doesn't think that the gemalim are going to come by in the future. He's not an expert on gemalim. Is onusu, that's considered onus. To what extent do we impose upon the Baal HaBor the obligation to anticipate something that may or may not happen when right now it's not happening? And the Gemara later on is going to quote one opinion that, in a sense, in a case that Gemalim are Boim Leprakim, they come from time to time, for sure he's a Poshea. He should have entertained the idea he's Chayav for Shvarim. What was Gemara thinking now that since there are no Gemalim now, he doesn't have to anticipate Gemalim when Gemalim Boim Leprakim? He knows that they're Boim Leprakim. Does he not know that? Is he not responsible to be aware of that? What we have to perhaps suggest is that leprakim is not a zman kavua. He knows that as a general, in a general sense, over the course of a period of time, it could happen that gemalim will come by. Of course, it's just this general over the course of time, gemalim come by. We're not sure. The Gemara is vacillating. Do we assume that he, the Baal HaBor, has a responsibility to think this all out? Or do we say, you know, he hasn't seen a gamal in donkey's years, and he's not a scientist, and therefore he's an onus? Perhaps we could say a little differently. Maybe gamalim come from time to time on a regular basis, but within a certain period of time, there were no gamalim coming by. But in all these cases, we have this gray area. We're not sure if he's responsible or not. And that's the Gemara's language, lo tzricha di asu lefrakim. We have this twilight zone where gemalim come from time to time. Mi amrinan kevan de e asyon leprakim posheahu di boil asukia daite odilma kevan de hashtami asleka onusu. Toshma. We have a brisa. Kiso. No, actually, this is our Mishnah. Kiso karoy v'nofel esocho shor ocham aru mes potur. Hey, Chidomi, what's the case in our Mishnah? I lema karoy l'shvarim karoy l'gmalim. If he put on a kisui that was sufficient for both shvarim and gmalim, hechi nafal, as we asked before, how did the animal fall into the bar? Elo lav, it must be karoi l'shvarim. And here we turn to nun beis amid beis v'lo karoi l'gmalim. The kisui was not strong enough for gmalim. Ve'i d'shchichi gmalim. Again, we don't understand. If he should anticipate gmalim, they come on a daily basis. This is amai patur. Why is he patur when the shor falls into this bar poshea? He should know that his kisui is not going to hold up even for shvarim, because the gmalim are going to walk over and weaken his kisui. Ve'i d'lo shchichi gmalim pshita onusu. If there's no gmalim at all, anyway, you know, they just never come around. So he did a perfect shmira. El Allah, I know he's an onus. If Gmalim all of a sudden showed up, they flew from heaven. El Allah, the Asyan Liprok. It must be this middle case where the Gmalim come from time to time. V'yosu Gmalim v'yar'ua. And in fact, as luck would have it, they came on this particular occasion. They weakened the covering of the bar. V'yosu shvar v'naflu bay. Ukutani patur. The Mishnah says, despite the fact that there are gmalim that come around from time to time, he's patur. Alma, we see, came in the hashto leka. Now there are no gmalim around. He doesn't have to entertain and anticipate the probability that, you know, in the future the gmalim are going to come around. He did what he has to do, and right now, in this period of time, there are no gmalim. Onusu. Amri, the Gemara is resisting. Lo, li olam karoy l'shvam karoy l'gmalim. Why is he potter in our Mishnah? Not because he doesn't have to anticipate the shvarim that come from time to time, the gmalim that come from time to time, but for an entirely different reason. Despite the fact that his kisui was a very fine kisui, it was it would withhold and withstand even the weight of gmalim. But why did the animal fall in? Because the covering of the bar was attacked by these termites, and that's why it became so weak that the animal would fall. And you might think that he should have replaced the kisui with a different kisui. No, the answer is, he didn't have to stand over the bar and watch it and protect it constantly. He covered it with wood that is strong and would not, within a long period of time, shall we say, a 5-year period of time, would not be attacked by termites. Therefore, he's an onus. Again, if he's notified, as we discussed at great length earlier, that his kisui is gone, it's history, then he has to replace the kisui. But assuming he didn't hear about it, he doesn't have to entertain and anticipate the possibility of hislia mitocho. Toshma, now the Gemara wants to go on to the Sefer of our Mishnah, maybe come to some conclusion about that ambiguous twilight zone of, yeah, the gmalim come, but not so frequently, etc., etc. Toshma, lo kiso karoi, v'nofal esocho shoro chamoru mes chayov. Wait a second. What's going on over here? He didn't put a kisui on top of the bar. It's not appropriate neither for shor or chamor. Then of course he's chayv. I mean, that's the parsha in the Torah. What's the Mishnah telling us? Hechi domi. Ilei malo karoy l'shvar v'lo karoy l'gmalim. This kisui was worth zippo. Is pshita. Tzricha lomer dechayv. The Mishnah have to tell me a chayv in such a case. The Gemara is not analyzing this Mishnah from a literary point of view. You know, that just in terms of the style of the Mishnah, it was added. El olav. In order to set up some chidush here, you're going to have to say that it was karoy l'shvarim v'lo karoy l'gmalim, that it says lo kisoy karoy. It doesn't mean it was a zippo shmira. Then for sure he's chayav for bar. That is the parsha bar. But rather, it wasn't a completely good kisui, because although it would withstand the weight of shvarim, it wouldn't withstand the weight of gmalim. Hechidomi either shrichi gmalim poshehu vidilo shrichi gmalim onusu. Again, we can't understand this Mishnah Mimonif Shach. It's either that he should be chayav and he's poshet that he's chayav, or he should be onus and he's poshet that he's potter. What's the chiddush of being chayav here if he should anticipate? Because gmalim are there on a daily basis, they're going to weaken his kisui. And if there are no gmalim to be seen or to be heard from, then for sure he's an honest. How can the Mishnah say he's chayav alav? It must be this middle of the road case, this ambiguous case, the asyan leprokim, that from time to time the gmalim come around. They haven't been around in years. The osu gmalim v'ar ua, the osu shvarim v'noflube. Uktoni chayev alma came in the asyon leprokim posheahu di boile lesukia daite. Since from time to time the gmalim do come, he should have entertained that, and he's responsible for that. That is negligence when he put a kisui that will not withstand the gmalim, even though they haven't been heard of in a while. But you know, there is a gmal attack from time to time. Li olam. And the Gemara now is resisting on the other side, that maybe since they haven't been gemalim around a long time, he should not be responsible, and it's not negligent when he doesn't anticipate the gemalim. Li olam karoy l'shvarim v'lo karoy l'gemarim u'shchichei gemalim. Gemalim make a daily appearance. Udeka kashla poshea who. Then you're asking, okay, if he didn't protect the bar against gemalim that are maisim b'chol yom, that are around there every day, then he certainly is chayev. Why did the Mishnah have to bother telling me he's chayev? Now the Gemara pulls the literary trick, the literature of the Mishnah, the rules of literature. Aidi, the nosiv reisha kisoy karoy, nosiv sefer nami lo kisoy karoy. Since the Mishnah tells in the beginning that if he places down his shmirah, and it's a fine shmirah, he doesn't have to anticipate that the termites ate up his wooden covering here, and he's potter. So now, the flip side, in the sefer also, he's going to talk about lo kiso karoy, which lo kiso karoy means that he did not protect against gemalim, and gemalim are a daily occurrence, and therefore he's chay mishum pshia. And that's the derech of the Mishnayis. The way Rebbe authored the Mishnayis is to bring a case that's the opposite of the first case, even if it doesn't add any new insights. Ika diamri, the Gemara now wants to push for the opposite agenda. That if the gemalim come from time to time over a long stretch of time, then he has to anticipate that, and he's a posheh if he doesn't take that into consideration. Hainami vade lo iboile. We should have no doubt about that. In the case of a kisui, which is not able to withstand the weight of gemalim, and the gemalim are there from time to time, leprokim, he certainly is chayv, that's pshia. The came in the asin leprokim posheahu. The boile la sukia daite, he certainly required what he thinks about covering the bar to take into consideration the gemalim. Ki iboilon. The question is a different question. That's what the Gemara was vacillating about. Hachi hu di boilon kiso kisui sheyochel lamud b'fnei shvorim. V'hene yochel lamud b'fnei gmalim u'shchichi gmalim. V'sliya mitocho. What happens if he didn't provide the perfect shmira? It does have a halacha chalashem shmira karoy with regard to shvarim. It does not have the status of shmira karoy with regard to gemalim, because there are gemalim around. And then vislia mitocho, but he was surprised by something totally different, and that is that the termites attacked this kisui. Mao, what's the din? The Gemara now clarifies the suffix. What are we vacillating about? Mi amrinon, should we say migu davi poshea etzel gemalim? Havi poshea nami le'inyan hasla. Even though, again, as a normal rule, had he done a perfectly good shmira, he's not obligated to anticipate the attack of the termites. But here, he didn't provide a good shmira. Although, again, it was a fine shmir for shvarim, but it was an insufficient and negligent shmirah vis-a-vis gemalim. Once that shmirah is not an up-to-par shmirah, because it's not a kisa karoy l'gmalim, that bar continues to be a mazik, and that's afka of the p'tur shmira. And if there's no p'tur shmira, that's called migu. He's got to be chayev even for an unusual, unanticipated event, hasla, because he didn't provide shmira. Oh, Dilma, should we say lo amrinan migu? We don't apply this principle of migu. If the gumel fell in, then he's a poshea. The gumel didn't fall in. The gumel didn't weaken the covering in such a way that the shar would fall in. But rather what happened at the end of the day was hasla. He's not a poshea as far as hasla is concerned. And therefore we look and see what was the ultimate cause of the death of the shar. Why didn't this protection operate in a sufficient way to make sure, to guarantee that the shah would not fall in, is because of hasla. Okay, that's an onus. He didn't have to anticipate hasla. A tosis here, this long tosis, many different dimensions of this tosis, but one of his kashas that I wanted to mention, because we're going to have this over and over again in various sugyas, is the Gemara could have forget about this migu. Let's assume we don't apply migu. But there's another principle here called Chilasa b'pshia v'sofo ba'ones. He did not provide an adequate shmira here because the gamalim are going to come, weaken the michse, the covering, and even the shar is going to fall in. And Tosis quotes the Riva that we don't apply the principle Chilasa b'pshia v'sofo ba'ones chayev unless the onus is ba'machmas ha'pshia. Now this onus of hasla has nothing to do with the pshia as far as the weight of a gamal. The Meiri, on the other hand, quotes the Chachmei Provancia. Their answer is that we don't say Tchilas B'Shiva Sof Bonus Chayev unless the onus is Matsui. It's common. You know, there's a little bit of a limited, shall we say, element of Pshia with regard to this onus. He should have, Becholzot, entertained this possibility. But in the case of Asla, that's not even something that he should entertain. It's not even an Ones HaMatsui, it's Lo Matsui Legamre. And then the Miri quotes a different Shita, the Shita of the Ravid. And the Ravid Shita is that Chilas B'Shiv Fesof Ones Chayev only applies if the Ones, in some sense, happened B'Dover Shenifshabo. In other words, if the Hislia, and then as a result the Gmalim fell in, so there was a Pshia because of Gmalim, vis-a-vis Gmalim, and now the Gmalim fell in, that would be Tchilas Pshia Sof Bonus Chayev. But here, what fell in? The Shar fell in. And perhaps we could embellish this by saying that there was a Chal Hashem Shmir as far as Shar is concerned, if not for the Gmalim. In any event, the Gemara says, Toshma, I have a raya from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Karoi, Kiso Karoi, Venofel, Esocho, Shoro, Chamor, Umes, Potur, the Itmar Allah. And we have a statement that was coming to embellish this Mishnah of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Chana. He says, Islia Mitocho, that the reason why he is Potur for the death of the Shor of the Chamor is because he didn't anticipate the termites attacking his kisei. Hechi domi. Ilema karoi l'shvarm karoi l'gmalim. What was the exact scenario here? If he did a perfectly good shmir for both shvarm and gmalim, v'sliya mitocho pshita de potem, I have le lemeva. This is certainly a case of anus. We don't expect him to cover his kisei with some metal substance that would be impervious and invulnerable to the toloyim. El alav karoy l'shvarim velo karoy l'gmalim ushchichi gmalim v'sliya b'tocho. This is exactly our case of migu. K'tani potur amalo amrinan migu davi poshelin yin gmalim avi poshelin yin asla. Once again, as we described just 2 minutes ago, the case is where the kisa is fine for shvarim in and of himself, but it's not good for gmalim, and he knows, and he should know, to anticipate the gmalim that are going to weaken his kisui, but at the end of the day, the kisui that he offered, that he provided, was his liyamitocha, which is not something that should he anticipate. But you might say, well, migu, if he's a poshea as far as gmalim are concerned, he's a poshea as far as hasla. He did not fulfill his chi of shmir, and that's it. End of story. No. The Mishnah tells you he's potur. Lo, says the Gemara, that's not the case of the Mishnah karoy, le gmalim karoy, le shvarim, v'sliya mitochu. It was a perfectly good shmir for both shvarim and gmalim. And the onus happened. Udika kashloki asliya mayavile. Maybe you'll ask me what was the havamina that maybe he should be chayev for the termites that attack his kisu. The answer is maudutem. I might have thought iboile le mezal uminkash aleho. He should be doing, you know, a regular checkups, you know, investigations, make sure that his kisu is fine. And it can withstand, you know, any kind of weight. He should be knocking. Menakish means to knock on the covering of the bar. And he can do that even with his feet. And if he does it strong enough, he'll be able to see how powerful this kisui is. Kamashmal on the Tana says he's potur. He doesn't have to entertain the possibility that the toloim are going to come and attack his bar. And we've already mentioned that this might be a ptur to exempt him within a certain period of time, let's say 5 years, 10 years. But over the long period of time, the long haul, he does have to realize that at some point, you know, any sort of wooden structure that's exposed to the elements is going to be attacked by all sorts of bugs. And then he becomes chai if he's a poshea. He's got to do this padika, this occasional checkup. Here in Eretz Yisrael, we have a problem with something called yunkers. You know, it's a whole system of heating up water. And it can be very dangerous because it works with a dangerous gas. So you need a... And the law requires from time to time a checkup to make sure the system is functioning properly. Toshma, but maybe I could bring a raya from the Sefer of our Mishnah. It says, Loki sol karoy v'nofal esocho sharuch hamoru mes chayav echidomi. I lema lo karoy l'shvarim v'lo karoy l'gmalim tzvich l'meimar. Tzvich l'meimar d'chayav. The Gemara asks in a rhetorical question. The Mishnah had to tell me that if he didn't provide shmira, not for shvarim, not for chamorim, and not for gmalim, that he's chayav. Of course he's chayav. El olav, again, it must be this middle of the road case. Karoy l'shvar v'lo karoy l'gmalim. V'i d'shchichei gmalim poshea uvili d'lo shchichei gmalim onusu. El olav, shchichei gmalim v'sliya l'bitocho. Chayv alma amrinon migudavi poshea l'inyin gmalim avi poshea l'inyin hasla. So the case is where he provided a perfectly good shmira for shvarim. However, if the gemal comes, and we do anticipate it's quite common for the gemalim to come, the weight of the gemal is going to weaken his kisui. But at the end of the day, that didn't happen. And what undermined his shmira, his kisui, was hasla. And the Mishnah says, yechayev, it means that since he didn't offer a perfectly good shmira, is there no such thing as a half-baked shmira. It's either all or nothing. And if the shmira was shalokaroi, then he's chayav for bar. That's a din in bar. Has nothing to do with chilas of b'shiv sofonis, as we discussed the great length. Amri, the Gemara says, lo. That's not a proof from our Mishnah. That's not a valid proof. We're not talking about a case of kisoy karoy l'shvarim v'lo l'gmalim, but rather li olam karoy l'shvarim v'lo karoy l'gmalim u'shvichi gmalim. The asu gmalim v'aruha v'asu shvarim v'naflu bei. Really, what happened was the shor fell into his bar, and that's why he's chayev. And what caused the shor to fall into this bar? After all, he provided a shmira against shvarim. The answer is the gmalim that he should have anticipated. That shchichi came by, and they weakened his kisui. Udugakashel pshita, he's a poshea. Even with regard to shvarim, he's a poshea. I don't have to say that he didn't do an all-inclusive shmira and be machadish. That's mafkir the chaloshem shmira. No, there's not even a partial shmira here because the kisui is not going to help him against shvarim because the gemalim is going to come and weaken his kisui. Is pshita? Why did the Mishnah have to tell me this? Posheahu, he's an absolute poshea. The Gemara answers again this literary rule of Aidi Denosiv Reisha. kisui karoi nasiv seifa nami kisui shalo karoi lo kisahu. So in effect, our Mishnah is talking about a simple case where he didn't provide shmir for shvarim, the shor died in the barn, therefore he's chayev. And I can justify why the Mishnah formulated this case, but there's no proof from here that he's chayev migu for hasla. Tashma nafal lisocho shor chere shot v'katan. Let's look at it's the very end of our Mishnah, but here we're looking at the Braisa. I know this because the Braisa added the word Suma. That doesn't appear in our Mishnah. So in our Mishnah, what happened is a shor that was incapable of protecting itself from falling into a bar. It never learned how to, it was too young to have learned from experience how to avoid a bar. Or if it was a Suma, the shor can't see. In all these cases, there's no das, there's no anticipation that the shor should be careful about falling into the bar. Even a shor that has all the normal credentials of pikhus, nevertheless, it was nighttime and it fell into a bar, chayev, the bala bar is chayev, but pikeh, says the Braisa, umahalich bayom, if the shor is capable of guarding itself and it was during the day, potur, the balabar is potur. We expect that the shor would be careful. So the Gemara says, Vamai, why in the case of Pikeach by Yom is the balabar potur? Name of the Havi Poshel in Yin Cheresh, Havi Nami Poshel in Yin Pikeach. The Bala Bar is chayav if a shor cheresh falls into the bar. Obviously, he did not provide the shmir that he had. And if shmir is an all or nothing procedure or endeavor, then once there's a hafkas shmir as far as the cheresh is concerned, he did not provide shmir as far as the bar is concerned. The heft of the bar is not shomer. Haraya, the cheresh is going to fall in and die in the bar. And therefore, we should apply the principle of migu shmamina. We have a raya from this brisa, delo amrina on migu. We don't say migu. And we don't say that it's an all or nothing procedure. And if he has no shmir, no complete shmir, it's not a shmira. If what happened at the end was an ones, in this case, the pikeah fell into the bar, he's not chayev. So let's just summarize what we learned. If there's a kisui, this is the most extreme simple case, that's not roy, neither l'shvarm l'gmal, and he's a poshe and he's chayev. If it's roy for both shvarm and gmalim, and at the end of the day there was hislia, he's potter. If it's roy l'shvarm and not l'gmalim, if gmalim are mitsuyim, we expect them to come by and they weaken the bar and the shor died, he's chayev. If, however, his liya, he's potu, we don't say migu. So even though his shmir was not complete, but nevertheless, at the end of the day, the liya, that's onus. If, however, there are no gmalim at all to be found, then he's potu on shvarim, forget about his liya, even if the shor falls in. And that's the case of hichlisho gmalim. If it's roy l'shvarim, but not l'gmalim, and gmalim ha-metsuyim l'frakim, so that depends on the two lishonos of the Gemara. There's no final conclusion. According to the Lishna Kama, it remains a suffix. According to the Lishna Basra, he's a poshea and he's chayav. The Gemara now brings the next part of our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, nafal afanav, if the animal fell lefanov, we have to see what lefanov means, and that was all a result of the kol hakriya, you know, the patish, you know, the hammer as he's chiseling away at this bar, scared the shor, and as a result he fell into the bar. So if he falls lefanov, again we'll have to see what that word means. The Mishnah paskins the Baal HaBar is chayef. If he falls le'achorov, is potur. And now we have to introduce again the fundamental machlok is about the nature of the chiyuv bar of Rav and Shmuel. Omar Rav, lefanov mamish, liacharov, achrov mamish. Let's take the mishnah straightforward. Lefanov means the sharp fell on its face, and if that be the case, it breathes the foul air of the bar, and it dies as a result of the hevelah bar. However, if the shor falls backwards with his back into the bar and his face is upwards towards the outside of the bar, then we assume that he died because of the impact of his body on the bottom of the bar, but not because of the hevel, and therefore he's patur. And now we turn to the Afnun Gimel Amud Aleph. Vizeh bibar. And both of these occasions, the animal fell and died because inside the bar, as opposed to Shmuel, we'll see in a minute. And Rav Litameh, this is Rav just reflecting his fundamental definition of the chiv of bar. The Omar Rav, as we had back on Daf Nun, the bar shechiv of Torah lahav lo velo lechavoto. He's not chayev for chavoto. Therefore, liachorov, where there was no element of hevel, it's like the bar begova where there was no element of hevel, and therefore he's potter. Ushmuel Omar. Shmuel's going to differentiate. Because again, according to Shmuel, as long as the shor died in the bar, he's chai, because Shmuel holds yechai for chavot, not just for hevel. It all depends whether he died inside the bar or outside the bar. Babar, if the shor fell into the bar, he went into the bar. Beim bilfanav, beim lachor, whether it went face first or back first and face up on top, chayov, because Shmuel tamei the omer lahavlo vekol shkein lechavoto. Elo hechidami liachorov mikol kriya de potu. What's the case where the Mishnah says he's potu because it was lachorov? Kigon diniskal babar v'nofal liachore habar. The animal tripped over the bar, went flying, you know, like doing somersaults in the air, and as a result, it fell outside the bar, and it died because of the impact outside the bar, chutzla bar. Since there was no chavata in the bar itself, it just tripped over the bar. That's already grama bi'alma. That's not called bar. And the Meiri adds here that even though we understand that in the case of a person who trips on an even, on a stone that was left in Rishus Arabim, and he goes flying, he's chayev for bar, this case is different. In the case of even, he placed the even down, biyadayim, that's a maisi biyadayim, and he's chayev if somebody trips over the even. But in the case of the kosal abar, the kosal abar is karka olam. He didn't place it there, and if a person trips over karka olam and he falls outside the bar, he's patur. Again, that's a little bit difficult because we never found that Shmuel admits to the principle of karka olam is ikoso. The Meiri offers another possibility. He says that nafal achori abar, maybe we consider that that's already not related to the kol hakriya. You know, to say that the shor was so startled that it went flying in the air, that's already too much. If you take a look at Tosus back on Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis, there, Divra Maskel V'Nishof, he points out that since the beginning of the Mishnah mentions the lashon of Kol Kriya, right, to teach us that even if the shor is a pikech, he's intelligent, if he falls into the bar by Yom, where normally he'd be patur, but here the fell into the bar because of the kol kriya shev hilo, is then the bala bar is chayv even during the day. So that's why it was mentioned here in the seifa as well. And the next part of the sugya here on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to quote a braisa to ask a kasha on Rav, and Emirtz Hashem will do this tomorrow in the next year.